Good morning, and welcome to worship on this, the Lord's Day. Stuart has a couple announcements for us.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the visitors. Today is Communion Sunday, and we have a open communion. You do not have to be a member of the church to participate. There will be coffee and cookies, tea and coffee afterwards over in Swain Hall. And over there, there are several sign-up sheets. We have sign-up sheets for the PW Luncheon on the 24th, the Fish Fry on Good Friday, and Lilies, which are for the Easter, and those are due by the 15th. And I think that is really about all I have.
Thanks. Let me just add a little bit with the loaves. My wife is a much wiser person than I am. And so she was talking about the loaves, and I tried to get her to share about this morning, but she decided to ditch town and go to California to get away from having to share this. But she pointed out, I never enjoy the fish because I just figure, let's write a check at the end of the season and turn it in. And she said there's something that's really powerful about making a habit throughout the week to be adding a little bit to the fish. It just makes us a little more mindful of the blessings that we have, the needs that others have. And so I think, like I said, she has a lot more wisdom than I do. I think it's a good idea, a good practice, part of that Lent process of getting ready for Easter, just to make it a habit to keep adding a little bit to the fish that is a reflection of our gratitude for the blessings God has given to us, and also a reflection of our opportunity to give to help others out. I always like to share a little bit to get us started with worship, and I always appreciate C.S. Lewis and his rather down-to-earth perspectives. And he wrote, "I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew that a bottle of port would do that. If you want a religion to make you really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity." And I want to stress to you that we are glad you're here today, but I hope you realize our goal for you this day is not to make you happy and not to make you comfortable. Our goal as a church is to help you to keep growing in your trust of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that his character might grow more and more in you. The result of that is not always happiness or comfortableness, but it is a deeper and more abiding joy. So take some time, reflect on that as you prepare your heart for worship.
Please stand if you are able and join in the responsive declaration of praise. Let us give thanks for God's goodness. Let those whom God has redeemed gather from east and west, from north and south. Let us pray. Quiet our minds, still our hearts, for your living ways are all we seek. Strengthen our lives, inspire our spirits, and wash us in the endless grace of your living waters. Amen. The opening hymn is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. The words are those for number 376, but we'll be singing the alternate tune, which is number 343, for those of you who read music.
Please join with me in prayer. Lord God, we are so grateful for so many blessings you have poured into our lives. And among the greatest of those is simply you. That you are here with us. You are always with us. You've made a promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. So it's not just when we are in church, which is a great place to be, but when we're out and about in the busyness of our hectic lives, in the midst of rush hour traffic sometimes, in the midst of visits to the doctor, in the midst of conflicts we might encounter with a neighbor or whatever, in all those things, you have promised never to leave us, never to forsake us, but always to be with us. And that is such a rich blessing. We thank you for that. Because of that great promise, that great blessing, we lift up our prayers for those who are in particular need of your closeness to them at this time. So, Lord, we pray for people that are on our hearts and minds. We pray for Greg Wilson as he is going through chemotherapy. Thank you that he is here with us today, and pray for your care for him and his family. Watch over them and pray for your healing hand to be upon him. We pray for Zane and Martha Porter's grandson, Matt, 42 years old and in the hospital having had a heart attack and problems with his kidneys. And we pray for your healing hand to be upon him. Pray for his parents and his grandparents in this stressful time as well. Be their peace in the midst of this trial. Lord, we pray for Hazel Bacon. Pray that you continue to give to Hazel new strength. Thank you that she is up and walking and working on building that strength, and pray that you would add to that. We pray for Marge Hagerman. Pray that you continue to care for her. For Beverly Brooks, thank you that this device they put in her back will be activated on Tuesday to help relieve the pain in their back, and pray that that would be successful and helpful to her. We pray for Doris Stainbrook and the battles she has with chronic pain. We pray for Ham and Bunny Geisbert. Pray that you continue to bless them with your presence, with their love for each other. Give them the strength that they need. Pray for Bob and Carol Sitzema. Pray that you continue to strengthen them. We pray for Pearl Portello. Thank you that he is out of the hospital, having had a little bit of a heart issue, that he's here and doing better, and pray that you continue to guide him and Jan as they address these issues with his heart. We pray for Shirley Walker, that you would take care of her heart and take care of the pain in her back. Pray that that would be eased, that the surgery would be effective that way. We pray for Donna Roth. Pray that you continue to heal her from her broken wrist. We pray for Craig McCoy's sister, Linda, in the hospital in ICU. Pray that you would clear out her lungs, strengthen her body, and let her know your peace of your presence. Lord, we pray for the people and ministries of the Shepherd of the Desert Church, and we pray for Heart Pantry. We thank you for that incredible ministry of providing meals for homeless high school students. Pray that you'd bless that ministry, and that through that ministry, you would help these teens to get on top of the struggles in their lives and live productive lives themselves. We pray all these things, and all the other unspoken things that are upon our hearts, we cast them all into your caring hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have trusted God with our prayers. Let us trust God also with our tithes and our offerings. Lord God, we thank you for these gifts, and we thank you that you have the capacity of taking our gifts and turning them into your glory. And we pray that you would do that you would use these gifts to increase the ministry of this church and the mission that goes beyond just the walls of this church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've been working our way through Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, his first letter to the church in Thessalonica, and we're going to finish that today. And the next week is Palm Sunday. The week after that is Resurrection Sunday, so we'll celebrate some things with Palm Sunday next week and then the resurrection of the Lord the following week. After that, we're going to take a look at what many people consider the greatest sermon ever preached, and that's Jesus' message on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to spend a bunch of weeks walking carefully through the Sermon on the Mount. But today, as we wrap up Thessalonians, the impression I get with this letter is it's almost like Paul has been digging in a gold mine, and he's been pulling out this vein of gold, all these rich deposits of gold in this little cave, and then he's all done, and he's packed it all up, and then he notices, oh, there are a few more little nuggets on the ground. I'm just going to pick this one up and toss it in there as well, and just has a whole bunch of little nuggets. And this morning, we're going to take a look at just two of those little nuggets in the closing verses of this book. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to open it up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 19 through verse 28, the end of the book. This is what Paul writes. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Beloved, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I solemnly command you by the Lord that this letter be read to all of them. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The following questions were actually taken from official U.S. court records. Question, what happened then? Answer, he told me, he says, I have to kill you because you can identify me. Question, did he kill you? You're supposed to be able to laugh at that. Question, I show you Exhibit 3 and ask you if you recognize that picture. Answer, that's me. Question, were you present when the picture was taken? Question, now, Mrs. Johnson, how was your first marriage terminated? Answer, by death. Question, and by whose death was it terminated? Question, you say that these stairs went down to the basement? Answer, yes. And these stairs, did they go up also? Question, now, doctor, isn't it true that when a person dies in his sleep, in most cases, he just passes quietly away and doesn't know anything about it until the morning? A few more. Question, do you recall the time that you examined the body? Answer, the autopsy started around 8:30 p.m. Question, and Mr. Dennington was dead at the time? Answer, no. He was sitting on the table wondering why I was doing an autopsy. And last one. Question, doctor, before you performed the autopsy, did you check for a pulse? Answer, no. Question, did you check for blood pressure? Answer,